Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. So today we're actually going to finally answer the question. Years ago, I sinned against my wife in an awful way. She forgave me, but she can't seem to get past it. Has she really forgiven me?
Yeah, now we're finally ready to begin answering this question. If you missed the last couple of episodes, you may want to go back and listen, because we spent those episodes talking about the nature of biblical forgiveness. And if you don't understand biblical forgiveness, this episode may sound really strange. So if you haven't listened to those, stop, go back and listen to those, and then come back.
Right. So first, a person has genuinely forgiven the moment they make the promise not to use the offender's sin against them.
Yes. So this man's question is, has my wife really forgiven me? If she said, I forgive you, meaning I promise not to use this sin against you, then she really forgave. And I'll just remind everyone here of the three ways that we keep that promise. We keep that promise by not bringing the sin up to the offender, by not talking to other people about it, and by not dwelling on it in our own minds.
What if that promise is broken? What if she does bring the sin up to him or talk about it to others or dwell on it in her own mind?
Well, if that happens, and it's going to happen, the forgiver then needs to repent of breaking the promise and needs to reaffirm the promise and reaffirm the intent to not use the person's sin against them. So if, you know, whoever the forgiver is, he or she, if that promise has been broken just by dwelling on it in their own mind, then I would say you just repent of that and ask the Lord's forgiveness. I don't know that you necessarily need to go to the person that you've sinned against and say, hey, I just can't get over this and I keep thinking about it. I would only go to that person if you have brought it up to them, and repent and ask their forgiveness. If you've talked about it to other people, I would go to those people and repent to them and ask their forgiveness and say, I have made the promise of forgiveness to this person. I broke that promise by talking to you about it. I'm repenting of that, and I'm affirming to you that I am committed to keeping the promise that I made to person A, and I'm not going to talk to other people about this anymore. It's very important to do that. If I were this husband, I probably wouldn't go to my wife giving her all of this instruction that I'm hearing on this podcast. It may be a good idea to just listen to this stuff together. She may not take it well if he comes to her saying, hey, I figured out how you're missing the boat on forgiving me. Now, I don't have all the information on this situation, but it's possible that she has broken the promise. It's possible, and that's why the husband is saying she can't get past it. She must not have forgiven me. But that leads to our next point.
Yeah, when a person seems like they haven't truly forgiven, it's usually that they are still struggling with the pain of the sin committed against them.
Yes, and again, when we use that language, when we say, well, so-and-so hasn't truly forgiven me, we're confusing biblical forgiveness with dealing with the pain, when really those are two separate things. But when we hear that language, usually the victim is still struggling with the pain of the sin committed against them. And that's likely the situation behind the question that's asked here. If she's promised not to use his sin against him, she has forgiven him, she just is still hurting. And without having more information, I can't say how that's being manifested in her life. I mean, we've all been sinned against, so none of this is going to be a surprise to us, but she may be sinning in her pain. She may be responding in sinful anger. She may be bitter, resentful. She may be saying hurtful things to him. Or it may be that she's just sad and depressed. Maybe she's having a hard time trusting him. I don't know what the sin is, so all this is kind of speculative, but there must be something that indicates to him that she is still hurting in some way.
What could she do to begin to deal with that or continue to deal with it?
Well, it's always a good idea to go to the gospel, specifically to focus on your own sins against God and think about how offensive your own sins have been in light of His searing holiness. We tend to regard other people's sins against us as way more grievous than our own sins. But meditating on the holiness of God is a great place to start. A great passage is Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, where the holiness of God is depicted there. And you can pay close attention to how Isaiah reacts to God's holiness in Isaiah 6. He's just overcome with grief for his own sin. Another good place to go is 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 11. There's a great picture there of how offensive the sinfulness of man is. That's a story about God striking a man dead for simply touching the Ark of the Covenant. Another is Leviticus 16, which is about the Day of Atonement, for a priest to enter the presence of God without the prescribed blood sacrifice would mean instant death for that man. So all of these things depict for us the holiness of God and how offensive our sin is. So I would meditate on the holiness of God, then meditate on your own sin. These passages talk about death for things as simple as walking into God's presence or touching the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, how much more offensive is your sin against God, especially sins of a moral nature, your lies, your lusts, your idolatry? Not simply just touching holy objects, but things that contradict the character of a holy God. Those things are so offensive. Think about those things. Then meditate on hell. Many people think, man, why would you want to meditate on hell? Because it's helpful. It's right. A good thing to do this. Now, Kyle, why is hell eternal?
Our sin is so offensive to God that it can never be sufficiently paid for by finite beings.
Right, yeah. One of your sins, one of my sins, is enough to justly condemn us to hell forever. That it's helpful to think about that hell is forever for a reason, and it's because our sins are so offensive to God. Then meditate on the love of God in Christ. How loving is God that He would give His own Son to save you from those sins? And how offensive were those sins that the only person who could atone for them was the eternal Son? And Jesus did that willingly. I mean, we're talking about unbelievable love. Then meditate on the immediate blessings enjoyed by those who repent and believe. We're talking about adoption, indwelling by the Holy Spirit, a shared inheritance with Christ of all the blessings in the heavenly places. If God has forgiven you in such a way, how then could you withhold bitterness against someone who has sinned against you? I mean, the offense committed against you, as painful as it was, is infinitesimally small compared to the offense of your sin against God. And yet, He has removed your sin. He's made you His own. He harbors no ill will at all or wrath whatsoever toward you. I would also encourage you to memorize passages of Scripture dealing with all of these things so that when you're tempted to go back in your mind to that offense that was committed against you and to dwell on that sin, you can put that thought away from you and in its place, meditate on these Scriptures. And basically what you're doing is you're training your mind and your heart how to deal with sins committed against you by soaking in the forgiveness that you have received through the cross of Christ. And another piece of advice I would give is to get counseling. I mean, it is just so helpful to have other Christians come alongside us and help us with these things. The God has given the church to the church to help the church be the church. Yep. Don't leave that resource off to the side when you're struggling with something that's so painful. God has given us to one another to help us with these kinds of things.
Right. I think it's really important to note that the offender needs to give the other person time and space to heal.
You're absolutely right. Any time we sin against another person and they forgive us, we shouldn't then stand over them and expect them to be fine the instant that they make that promise of forgiveness. I mean, it was a gracious act for them to make that promise. And now they're left to deal with the pain that we caused them. So love would dictate that we show tremendous patience as they deal with the damage that we caused. We should bend over backwards to help them heal from our sin. So our attitude should not be, when are you going to get over this? Now, to be fair, I don't get that sense from the person asking this question, so I'm not assuming that's happening here, but it's not at all uncommon for that attitude to be there, and so that's why I'm saying it now. But they've been gracious to you. Be gracious in return by understanding that it may take some time for them to heal, and it will help them heal if you are gracious and patient and loving with them.
Amen. A lot of helpful stuff in this episode. I know I'm going to keep coming back to this for help. So
praise God.
I hope it's blessed our listeners. And Greg, until next time.
All right, see ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.